learning the 12th bracha of Shmona Esrei, but the truth is it's really the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei. Right? I say the 12th because if you can't, right, exactly. Because if you count from the beginning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's a 12th. Someone coming in, Howard?
Yes.
Behind you?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
Josh, so 12th bracha, but it's really the 19th bracha. Why? Because this is the bracha that was added in the latest. Originally, right, bracha of Shmona Esrei was Seth. This bracha was added much later by Rabbi Gamliel II of Yavne. Rabbi Gamliel II of Yavne was Nasi, and he establishes bracha v'lamalshina malti sikva. What did he establish the bracha for? He established the bracha because of a tremendous tzara that was happening to the Jewish people. Tremendous, tremendous tragedy. What was the tragedy?
Moshen.
So, right, exactly. And you look at, well, not exactly Moshen, what kind of Moshen? The Rambam mentioned this. Is in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, V'yimei Rabban Gamliel, Rabu Haminim B'Yisrael, in the days of Rabban Gamliel, the Minim, if they define who the Minim are, but the heretics, increased, V'hayu Metzirin L'Yisrael, right, and they were causing a lot of tzaras for the Jewish people. And not only were they causing tzaras, which implies, what does that mean, causing tzaros? Very often causing tzaras is with whom? With the Goyim. Causing tzaras for them with the Goyim, with historical context, the Romans, who had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. This is post-Korban, this was added according to most, right?
What do you mean, the bracha was post-Korban?
This, V'lal Mashinim, correct.
Oh, there's a debate as to when
this bracha, Pasha says it was post-Korban, this bracha.
Oh, we're saying
was added to Shmona Esrei.
Oh.
And the Lashon of the Rambam, that they were being matzirin Yisrael, they were causing tzaras with the Romans, and also, masistim osam lashuv me'achri Hashem. They were seducing them away from serving Hashem. So, who was that? What does that mean?
The Jews, the early non-religious
Christian,
Jews.
Not religious, the early Christians.
Early Christians were Jews.
Exactly.
The Christian Jews.
The early Christians were Jews. So you look at the Lashon HaRambam, again, you have to be very careful when you read a Rambam. You have to be very succinct when you read the Rambam. He talks about Bahayu Metzirin LeYisrael and Mesisim Osam L'Shem Nachar Hashem. So causing them tzaros from external, from the Goyim, from the Romans. And then they were maces them, they were leading them astray from proper service of Hashem, and that probably was a reference to the early Christians. Could be the early Christians were doing the other tzars, it could have been the Sadducees, could have been the Baitosim, any number of heretical sects that would causing them problems, causing the rabbis problems with the Romans. Listen to what the Rambam writes, V'kivan shera, sezu gedol mikol tzarche b'nei Adam. And once Rabbi Gamliel saw, once he saw that this was greater than all other needs of the people, this was the greatest need, meaning this tzara that was happening from within. The tzara that Jews were causing tzaros for their observant brethren with the Roman authorities, or Jews who were following heretical systems, either the Baitosim, the Sadducees, or whether we're talking about the early Christians that were preaching about Jesus, right? That this was the greatest tzara, this was the greatest need. Amar hu ubeis dino, so Rabbi Gamliel and his beis din stood up, v'hiskin bracha achas, and established one bracha, shetia bashelim ilfnei Hashem, that it's a request from God, la'abed haminim, to
destroy,
basically, yeah, to make them lost, get lost, right? To destroy them. Main the kavo sam betfila, and they establish it in Shmona Esrei. Kedesh te arucha b'fia kol v'nimtza bracha shebetfila tisha esrei brachos. So they put it in the Shmona Esrei so that everyone should be familiar with it, which should be set in their mouths. And so it makes brachos, it makes the brachos of Shmona Esrei into, not Shmona Esrei, but Shah Esrei, 19 instead of 18. But what's interesting is there are two other important haras about this bracha. First, who actually wrote the bracha? The Rambam says that him and his Beis Din stood up and established the bracha. Who was the one that actually wrote this bracha? The Gemara in Brachos tells us who actually wrote this bracha. And the bracha was actually written by someone named, anyone have an idea? Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan. Right? Shmuel the Small. What did the small have to do with?
Small
the small, like Little John, right? Little John, Lahavdil.
Maybe one may be confusing with the Navi.
Oh, that's interesting. They don't want to confuse him with the Navi. I hear that. That's an interesting shot. So Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel the Small. Many say that he was referred to as Katan because of what attribute? Because
he was fat or tall.
No, humble.
He was humble.
He was very humble, very humble person. So he was known as Shmuel HaKatan, Shmuel the Small. That's how he saw himself. And what's interesting is they said they were looking, who can set up this bracha for us? Who could set up this bracha for us? Who could set up this bracha for us? And they really had a problem. Who can make the bracha? And then, who is it? Shmuel HaKatan. Why was Shmuel HaKatan able to do the bracha? So it's interesting when you look at a statement, Shmuel HaKatan would say, and what's interesting is that in Pirkei Avos, there's a statement from him, but Rabbeinu Avadi Mibar Tanur points out that a statement is just a pasuk. His whole statement, this whole Mishnah, is just a pasuk from Mishlei. So what's pshat? Why does this whole statement...
Wait, Malshanim is a pasuk from Mishnah?
No, the Mishnah of Shmuel HaKatan that we're about to say is a Mishnah, is a pasuk from Mishlei, that this pasuk... The Rabbeinu Avadi Bar Tanur says it's how Shmuel HaKatan lived his life. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to understand why it was Shmuel HaKatan who could do this, say the bracha, and gives us further insight as to what the bracha was really about. Then we'll look at the actual bracha, and of course we'll take it off of the literal and go to a little bit more Hasidish, Kabbalistic interpretation. But Shmuel HaKatan Omer, bin fol ayivcha al tismach. You know what he says? You know what Shmuel HaKatan says? At the fall of your enemy, do not rejoice. And in his stumbling, your heart shall not be glad. Shouldn't, because maybe God will see this, and it'll be evil in God's eyes, and he'll turn away from your enemy his anger. Meaning, what is Shmuel HaKatan saying? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. So what's pshat that, this is what he would say, this is a teaching of his. This isn't a teaching of his, this is a teaching of Shlomo HaMelech. So why is this quoted? Because this is giving us insight into who he was. This is what he always would say. Now you understand why they were looking. Who could be the one to write a bracha against Jews? Who could be the one, meaning Rabbi Gamliel saw, that this is, again, the Lashon of Rambam was extremely alarming. The Lashon of the Rambam is nothing less than alarming. When the Rambam writes, that this was the greatest need that the people had post-Churban with Rabbi Gamliel and Yavneh, Rabbi Gamliel II, the greatest need they had. Was that you had heretical Jews causing problems with the Romans, heretical Jews who were seducing Jews to leave proper Torah and mitzvos, proper observance, probably referring to the early Christian Jews that put on tallis and tefillin, that kept a lot of mitzvos, right? So they were looking, who is the one that can make a bracha? No, Mamish, you need the age of blogs to understand this. That the people will listen to this bracha and they won't say it's a rabbi who has an agenda. You hear it?
Yeah.
That was the problem. Back then, the problem was, who is the one, who is the rabbi that can establish a bracha that when he establishes this bracha, the people are going to listen to it. And people are not going to say, oh, this is because of rabbinic power. That this is because of he's losing his political clout, his control of the people. But rather, it's all l'shem shamayim. That it's for the sake of heaven. And who was it? Shmuel HaKatan. The one that would say what?
Don't rejoice when the downfall of your enemies.
We're happy, Rachman Litzlan. bad things happen to Jews, other Jews, whatever kind of Jews they are. However they identify themselves. We want this to happen to another Jew. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Ben folei v'cha av tismach. Don't be happy when your enemy falls. Chas v'shalom. Right?
He learned that from Hashem. If you see at the Yam Suf.
Don't be joy because my... Excellent. Excellent. It's a great Meir Malkum, Howard. The famous Maimer Chazal, that the Jews wanted to sing, the Malachim, not the Jews. The Jews were allowed to, the Malachim. And the question is, why were the Jews allowed to? It's a good question. I don't want to get lost in that. But the idea that Hashem did not let the Malachim sing praises at Yam Suf, because the Egyptians were being drowned at that time. Right? And that's why it's very important to note in the bracha, we say the second phrase, V'chol harisha keregatoved. What does V'chol harisha keregatoved mean? And all evilness. Is it the word evilness? No. Wickedness?
Wickedness.
Wickedness sounds better than evilness. Evilness doesn't sound right, does it?
No, it doesn't sound right. But you can make up your own word.
Okay.
Like 35,000 words are made up every year.
Right, so okay, the evilness. Selfie. Right, all of the evilness. Keregatoved in an instant should be lost. Right? It doesn't say all Rishaim. V'chol harisha keregatoved. All of this wickedness, all of this evilness, in an instant should be removed. Then we say, V'chol eivecha meheri karesu. Hashem, anyone who makes himself your enemy, that person meheri karesu. You have to cut him down. But it's not for whose sake, it's for your sake. There is a question of girsa. Some say, V'chol eive amcha. Some say, the enemies of your people. That's a different girsa. V'chol eivecha might seem to fit a little bit better. There are two different girsos. There are arguments for both ways. But we see here this idea that right away, we're not demanding. The first thing that we want is v'chol harisha keregatoved, that the wickedness would stop if they persist. V'chol eivecha meheir karesu, that your enemies, God, they have to be cut down. V'hazedim, the willful sinners, meaning the real nudniks, that are not giving up, that they're staying mehera sa'akir sa'shaber sa'magir sa'chniyim b'mehera v'yameinu. Zaydim are the worst of the worst. These are people that are not letting go of their wickedness. Their wickedness and nevach, people like that need to be uprooted. People need to be broken. Before v'sa'chniyim, before we talk about removing them entirely, to uproot them, to break them, meaning still exist, but to take them away from their wickedness, to break them of their wickedness. If all of this doesn't work, then sachniyim b'meir b'meinu. Because we have to understand the danger that these people represent. What's interesting also is that, but again, v'chol harisha keregatoved, that the wickedness, the evilness, should be removed. That's what we daven for first. That's the famous Gemara in Brachos, that there were some lowlifes in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood that were causing him a lot of tzaras. And Rabbi Meir was davening that they should die, and his wife, Bruria, the famous Bruria, told him, it's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz, that sins should be removed from the world. It doesn't say, Yitamu chotim min ha'aretz, sinners should be removed from the world. And basically the lesson is that this is about shitos, it's not about people. When we demonize people, that becomes a very dangerous, dangerous thing. And that leads to a lot of what's going on in the world today, b'chlal, and b'frat in the Jewish world. B'frat in the Jewish world as well. We have to know to disagree with shitos, right? It's a very, very difficult thing. But what we, if you notice, we didn't talk about the very first phrase of the bracha. And the very first phrase, the very first word, the very first letter is very strange. There are only two brachos in all of Shmoneh Esrei that start with a V. V. Vili Yerushalayim Ircha. Barachim and Toshav is the other one. Excellent, Josh. So we're not going to get into that now, because you got to give me 2 weeks to get to Vili Yerushalayim Ircha. Although 2 weeks, am I already in camp? I'm already in camp in 2 weeks? Holy shmagegi. I'm already in camp in 2 weeks. That's crazy.
You'd be next so in what?
Eretz Yisrael, then I'll be in like 8 weeks. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. 7 weeks, I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Not in Eretz Yisrael, Thursday night till August. Meaning after 2 weeks in camp, I'm back in Springfield okay. 2 weeks, and then I go. So Vila Malshin, what's a V? How does the bracha start? And aren't you told in like like one of the rules of grammar, rules of writing. You never start a sentence with and. No? That's what you taught early on.
That was, even in your day,
Howard?
even in my day. Even way back there in the 17th century.
No. But Vili, what does that mean, ants? You know what many Mepharshim on the Siddur say? So there are those who say that Vilamashinim is an outgrowth of a Shiva Shoktema. The bracha before was about justice, right? About justice. Once you have justice, Vilamashinim, and it's like a continuity of the bracha before. There's justice, and then you have to remove the wickedness.
And you go through the English of the bracha itself.
So we could do it phrase by phrase. I translated some of it just before. But the... Yeah,
what is it like Vahaya, maybe with a vav from Vahaya, and it was like a bad thing?
Well, so that's interesting that it's a... I'm not sure if it's the vav that makes it a bad thing there, you know?
Okay.
What about the fact that it's Eden, like just practically speaking, it's Eden to Shema Esrei?
Oh, so some say the fact that it's that the vav shows that it's an add-on. Like this
like
is
an
a past, correct, that's a hint. This is very good, excellent, that's a second shot. There's also a third shot. You know what the third shot is? That this isn't the whole text of the bracha. Censors got their hands on this bracha. And censors took out phrases from this bracha. There are some scholars who suggest that the bracha started mishumadim, talking about mishumadim, that somehow you should remove them. Because what's a malshin? A malshin is a talebearer, right? Slanderer. Malshin, you're being Malshin, right? Like being Moser type idea. But the worst was Meshum. That's Malshin telling on the Jews to the Romans. But what was worst? The Meshumadim. What were the Meshumad? The Meshumad were those that converted to Christianity. Meaning Meshumad were those corrupting the religion. And that danger is the graver danger. The spiritual danger was worse than the danger of the Malshinim al-Tisikva. But if you're taking a pot shot at the early Christians, calling them Mishumadim, censors took that out, which is very interesting. And what's left is the Vav, because this wasn't the first phrase of the bracha. But V'lamalshinim al tisikva, what it means is that for the slanderers, the talebearers, al tisikva, there shouldn't be any tikva. Tikva means
hope.
Should be no hope. They should not have any hope that they're going to, what? Throw us out. They shouldn't start their issues. They should stay away, not start up with us. Right? And then it goes, well, wickedness should be removed in an instant. All your enemies quickly should be cut down. The Hazedim and those people that really are holding on to their sins, those people that are Zadon, Lashon of Mamish, the purposeful, willful sinners, the ones that are Lahachas, everything, those people, uproot them, break them, right?
I heard an explanation that the reason for the wording, part of the wording was that if someone was going to get up and daven for the Amid.
Oh, hold on, we're going to get to that. I didn't get to that.
Oh,
that's the halacha. That's halacha.
That's halacha. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saying it's the Gemara and Brachos. It's the Gemara and Brachos. And that relates to something else that the Rambam said, but I wanted to end
it.
But I wanted to end it because it's just an interesting thing. No, it's
all
good.
We'll talk about that at the end.
No, we're coming to them. It's okay. It's okay. But I did want to add in the Hasidic Kabbalistic perspective on this bracha. What's the kavana that a person has? What's kavana you should have? So let's take it metaphysically, then, you know, spiritually, then we can come l'maisa b'zman hazeh, and then we'll get to the ending that Howard said. V'lamalshinim al tisikva, the Prietz Chaim, the Sifrei Kabbalah, talk about that this is a bracha against the kochos hatumah in the world. Specifically, against the kochos hatumah that try and seduce us. We know there are all different kinds of yetzaharas, that this is a bracha of removing overall the kochos hatam, the forces of impurity in this world. And that's what we're talking about. God, you know what God's enemies are? God's enemies aren't people. It means the forces of impurity, that their role in this world is to pull us away from God. That's what it's talking about.
That's
that they're the opposite God. Oh, no. Not. The Vav, I said, is, you know, one of three pshatim. You know, either connected to the bracha before or showing that this was a later addition, or that really there was a text that's this is a deficient text, that there was a phrase before Vilam Malshinim.
Okay. And I thought you said there's a third pshat.
That's the third pshat.
No, that's the third pshat in the Vav.
Right. Okay.
The first pshat was it's connected to Hashiva Shofteinu.
Right.
Like, once you have justice, right, then this is part of justice.
Right.
Part of justice means Biar Tahara Mikirbecha, cleaning out the evil from your midst. Right, so they go together. The second pshat, as Josh pointed out, it's a pshat that some Sfarim bring down that Josh thought of, the idea that because this was an addition to Shmona Esrei, to show that it's like an and one. It's
right.
an and, it's 18 and Vilam Malshinim. And the third pshat we said was that there was a phrase before Vilam Malshinim.
Right, so now where's the Tuma part coming though?
No, so this we said is a more metaphysical, more Kabbalistic, more Hasidic approach.
Okay.
That, you know, what is this talking about, Bizman Azeh? All this bracha is timeless because it's talking about the forces of impurity leading us astray. It doesn't only mean external enemies. It means inner enemies. It means the inner demons that we all struggle with. And that we're asking Hashem for the inner demons to remove them here. There are those who say that, look, you know, even today's day and age, that Rabbi Gamliel established this as part and parcel of Shmona Esrei for all time, because we have to understand that there will always be those corrupting Judaism. And that, again, this bracha helps us have the proper perspective in dealing with it.
Why wasn't that in the original 18? I mean, why was... Why
because the Sinas Chinam, the fighting amongst Jews, came up after Churban HaBayis. Meaning this bracha, we had a version of Shmona Esrei.
The Sinas Chinam has been something that we've had forever. It's the age-old question. It's the brothers. It's the Tzachi Yosef.
But what happened was that post-Churban, they thought, okay, great, we're done with it. It was finished. Right? And then what happens? You had the Tzukim, you had the Baitusim,
sure.
You had the
who
early Christians.
I've never heard of the Baitusim.
They're another heretical sect, along with like the Karaites, the Sadducees, you know, like that.
Hold on. I mean, this has been the beginning of...
Look, that's why the Rambam is answering exactly your Shaila. That's exactly what the Rambam is saying. Right? That's what the Rambam is saying here. That's why the Rambam is giving... Normally, the Rambam is not a history book. Why is the Rambam telling the history? The Rambam is telling the history because a person like, why are we adding it now? Because this time in Jewish history, again, remember the Lashon HaRambam. It was
best.
Horrific.
Right.
This was the greatest need of people at the time. This was the greatest tzara plaguing the Jewish people. Right? And that's why they established the bracha for then, and unfortunately, Bayam Mahem Bazman Azeh, that we have to know that we have to fight against, right, versions of corrupting Torah, whichever way that it comes. We have to know how we go about it. We have to know what the bracha is telling us, V'chal HaRisha. Right? And we're not attacking the people, but we're attacking the ideas, and we ask Hashem to take care of it, right? It's not for us to take laws into our own hands. This has to be something we have to be very careful about. And, you know, as many great tzaddikim have pointed out, that, you know, we have to do what's right. You know, Rav Kook always said, you know, you fight darkness in the world by bringing in more light. That's how you fight darkness, right? You fight ignorance by increasing wisdom, right? You hate by increasing love. So that's something that I think we definitely see from this bracha.
Yeah, it's a very slow process.
It's a very slow process. You fight
doing
fire.
It those ways is a... It's like
you're right.
Glacial. It's like glacial.
Right, but don't forget, you need to be a Shmuel HaKatan. As the Rambam says, HaKheyev Tochiyach Es HaMisecha, the Rambam writes, it's the hardest mitzvah sase in the whole Torah to do.
It's hard to wait that long.
You fight fire with water.
You fight fire with water, right. But the Rambam says, Hocheyach Tochiyach Es HaMisecha is the hardest positive mitzvah in the Torah, because who's to say that they're really giving tochacha for the right reasons? Who's to say that they're really pure, that they're really... You know, so it's not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing, this bracha. But as we said, in this bracha, a person should daven, that a person shouldn't have thoughts of heresy. You have people who, Nebuch, Rahman, Otzlan, or atheists, whatever it is, you daven for them in this bracha, and V'lam al-Shinim al-Tisikva, of course, and Hashivenu avinu l'sarsecha, you daven for people to do tshuva, but here you daven davka, that the kochus atumma should not be able to hold on to them. What's interesting is, as Howard was pointing out, there's a halachic issue here. The Gemara tells us that if a chazan makes a mistake in any bracha, you let him keep going. A chazan makes a mistake in this bracha, you yank him right away.
Why?
Why is that?
Because he may be a heretic.
Because you're afraid he was a heretic. Exactly.
He didn't want to use certain words.
Even today?
Want to say something.
Well, again, that's why. The Pashas is not today. But back in the day, this bracha wasn't only a tefillat Hashem. But this bracha was... It was a public declaration of solidarity. Exactly. They would look at who was saying amen to that bracha, who was not saying amen to that bracha. And that was a very serious thing. That was a very serious thing. Yes,
weren't
brother.
There certain things with the kahuna or around Sukkot about lulav and nesrig or
with
something?
With the heretics, meaning when they pelted him, when he took
yes.
the... Because Nisa Chamayim isn't in the Torah. So there was a Sadducee, Kohen Gadol, he poured the water on his feet. Right? And so everyone pelted him with their esrogim. Was not a good matzah. Did not turn out well. Not saying they were wrong, but you know, whatever. It was an ugly matzah. So this is a bracha. Again, this was the late edition of the bracha, but, you know, some say it was the late edition for the bracha because Gamliel saw it was going to be needed for the latest time in Jewish history. And not only then, but the latest in Jewish history, which is now. How difficult it is, the corruption of Torah, how difficult it is to try and just stay faithful, to have a certain fidelity to what Torah is, and not to create Torah in our own image as the early Christians did. That's what it was, creating Torah in our own images. So Hashem should just help us that Kavanim v'lamashinim, and that Risha Kerega Tovid, and Be'ezus Hashem will be Zochet to all be one with the Ribbono Shalom.
Mm-hmm.
Shkoyach.